Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Now, over the course of the years that I've been involved in ministry, there's certain questions that I get asked and certain subjects that always come up. Probably number one on the list is Revelation, end time stuff, which we're going through on Wednesday nights, by the way. So that's one. But the second one close to it is God's will. What is God's will for my life? Begins with students in school, that what does God want me to do? What does God want me to go into? Who does God want me to marry? It continues on in life. Should I make this investment? Should I do this? Should I take this job? What should I do? How should I do it? And those questions just always kind of hang there with us as Christians. And so what we're going to look at for the next 3 weeks is navigating God's will. How do I deal with that? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now, that's a promise of God. That's something we can hold on to. And this morning, what we're going to look at is confidence in God's will. How can I live with confidence in God's will? Well, step number one, always walk in obedience. Always walk in obedience. Now, step number one, this point is the hinge point of the rest of the series. If you miss this point, you miss everything. If you don't get this point right, nothing else I say is going to matter. Did everybody hear that? Because I don't want to be misunderstood, although I probably will be today, is my lot in life. You know, that always walk in obedience. Now, what does that mean? That simply means this. My heart is intent on knowing God. What I want in my life is I want to know God better. Now, the Bible teaches us, Jesus teaches us, that my knowledge of God is demonstrated when I obey him, when I do what he wants me to do. So what I need to invest my life in is, what do I need to do to know God better? You're taking one of those steps by being in church today. You know, I want to know God better. Throughout the week, as you read your Bible, as you pray, as you talk to God, I want to know God better. I want to work on my knowledge of knowing God. I want to work on applying it to my life. I want to listen to what God has to say to me through his Spirit. I want to become a person who can hear from God. I just want to know God more. Now, see, the problem is this. Too often, we just want answers to our questions. God, tell me what to do. And the walk with God is not about God telling you what to do. It's about you and he having a relationship. And if you don't have a relationship with God, him telling you what to do isn't going to work very well for you. And so God says, look, I want you to live a life that is so planted on the foundation of God's word, that is so focused on God's mission, that your decisions and everything you do in life is guarded against your self-centered distractions, and you just pursue God with all that you are, with all that you have. I want to know God more. The will of God is more about who you are than what you do. Did you hear it? The will of God is more about who you are than where you are or what you do. God wants you to spend your time and your energy more focused on him than on what you do in life. And anytime that focus gets shifted and you spend your time focusing on what you're doing and not on God, things get out of order, don't they? You see, we tend to live life like a NASCAR driver. Get in the track, put the metal to the metal, and just go as fast as you can. And then every once in a while, if you have a problem, pull into the pits and get some help. Right? I mean, that's, you know, well, Lord, I'm a little low on fuel today. Let me stop and get fueled up. And then I'm going to get back in life, and I'm just going to put it to the metal, and I'm going to go. right? That's in what we do. And you see, if you're always just spending life putting the pedal to the metal, you don't have time to know God, do you? And so I need to work on, Lord, help me to become the person you want me to be. And if I'll work on that, God will take care of guiding me. God will take care of helping me. God, I want to keep my heart pure. God, I want to just work on our relationship. God, what can I do to get to know you more? God, how can I spend my time knowing you better? God, what disciplines do I need to put in my life so that I can be closer to you? God, what I want most in life, I want to be closer to you. I want to know you more. God, you see, every time you pray, you're acknowledging God's supremacy in your life. Prayer is an exercise in humility. Well, I don't want to ask for this, and I don't want to ask for that. That's pride. Well, I don't want to ask for me. God tells you to. Why wouldn't you? You see, we don't know God very well, do we? Well, I don't want to think about me. These other people need God more than I do. No, they don't. You need God pretty well. Well, I'm more... No, no, no. You see, it's great that you have a heart for others. But God's big enough to take care of all of us. And so I come to God, I humble myself, and I put myself in a position so that I can know him better. And you are spiritually impaired in making good decisions if you aren't regularly talking with God. Is everybody getting this? Okay. Point number one, star by it, most important part of the whole series. What does God want when it comes to his will? He wants me to know him better. He wants me to spend my time and energy drawing closer to him. He wants me to become a person who is more like him and not like me. He wants me to know him. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. By his divine power, now don't miss this first verse. By his divine power, notice, God has given us, in other words, you already have it, right? It's not that God will, God has. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Wow. That's a great statement, isn't it? God has given me everything I need to live a godly life. We've received all of this. How do we get that? By coming to know him. By drawing close to him. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. That's a powerful verse. God gives me everything I need to live a godly life because he's called me to know him more. And the more that I know him, the more that I draw close to him, I know what he wants. Verse 4, and because of his glory and his excellence, he's given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Now, we're going to deal with that in just a moment. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. In other words, obedience. Know that God, what you want is me to respond to you. Look at me. I want you to know something. The more you obey God, the more you know him. Amen. You want to know God more? Obey him. The more you do what's right, the more you know God. You don't know God just by studying. Now, you need to study. But if you really want to know God, you obey him. And as God realizes, and as you realize, hey, he's doing, they're doing, she's doing what God wants her to do, God begins to reveal more and more of himself to you. In view of all of this, verse 5, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God says, look, I want you to know me. John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. They obey. Psalm 37:23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. You and I have to understand, if I want God's will, if I want to know God's will, if I want to be a person who lives in God's will, it begins with me walking in obedience because I know God, because I love God. Divine direction begins with unconditional submission to God and who he is. All right, that's point number one. That's where it starts. Second thing to be confident in God's will, accept the free will that God gives you. Now, here's where I can be easily misunderstood if you don't listen to me. The freedom that God gives us is predicated on the fact that we're already following him, that I'm seeking to know him, that I'm listening to him, that I'm doing what he wants me to do, that I'm trying to understand his ways. And once I do that, now God gives me the ability to choose whatever I think is best. I have a free will. God wants me to exercise it. And so God says, look, if you'll follow after me, if you'll hunger for me, if you'll seek me, if you'll try to be more like me, if you will just bring your life into my authority and domain, and will the hunger of your heart be to know me more, and you'll do everything you can to get closer to me, you make your choices. Ew. Scary. But if I'm seeking God, I can make those choices. That's why God gives us a will. You see, we get paranoid at this point, partly because we don't know God like we should. Partly because we just want him to tell us what to do. You know, God, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And God says, look, you're getting things out of order here. All I want from you is I want a relationship with you, and I want you to seek me with your heart. And if you'll do that, you make a choice. Now, there's a problem. And the problem is your free will, my free will. And it's a battle that goes on for a long, long time. In fact, it goes on all of your life. The battle between my will and God's begins very early, and it just continues on. And there's three things you're going to struggle with your will. Here's what we struggle with our will. Number one, we think our perspective is right. How I see things is the right things to see them. You don't believe that? Let's talk politics for a while. My perspective is right. Well, my perspective might not be right, but it's better than yours. And see, we tend to think we see things pretty clear, and we don't. We tend to think, well, I see things right, and you don't. Well, we're just different. We are, but my different is better than your different. Okay? And so all my life, what you and I struggle with is I think my perspective and how I see things is good. I see things the right way. You've got work to do. Right? We battle with that, don't we? Well, and here's what we say. Well, you just don't understand. All our life, it's a struggle, isn't it? Second battle, our persuasion that we know what's best. I know what's best for my life. Who are you kidding? You don't. Well, here's how we kind of say this, though. Well, I know what'll make me happy. Oh, really? Then why are you so miserable? I know what I want. No, you don't. No, you don't. And see, your will gets you in trouble, doesn't it? This idea that, well, I see things correctly, and I know what's best for me. Oh, really? Now, you know what? That starts when you're about two. Okay? As you grow up as a kid, I know what I want. I know what'll make me happy. You let me do this. You let me go here. I see things better than you do. You don't understand me. You just don't have a clue about what's going on. And I want what I want because this is what'll make me happy. I want that toy. I want to have this. I want to go there. I want to do this. And if I can do this, then everything'll be fine. And unfortunately, as you grow up as a child, you got these mean old people in your way called parents. That just don't get it. And then you get out of the house on your own, and you get to be your own, and then you got this mean old God in your way who tries to tell you, and you say, no. Why? You don't know him. And you think you know better. Third one, our propensity to do what we want. One of the strongest desires of human nature is I want to do what I want above everything else, even if it leads me to unhappiness or destruction. I want to do it my way, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and here it is, you can't stop me. You see, God says, look, you have a free will. I want you to use it. I want you to use it to make good choices. But you see, the only way you're going to make good choices is if you know me more. And if you have a heart for me. And if you don't have that heart for me, your will is going to take over. And you're going to think you know what's best. And you're going to think you see things clearly. And you're going to begin to make your decisions because you want to do what you want. You see, our problem is independence. Not lack of information. And when the will of man comes against the will of God, one of them has to die. And that's our struggle. Our struggle is not that God's will is so hard, because it's not. Our struggle is our will. And we think we know what's best. And we want to do what we want. Just take a minute and think, ouch. Because we've all got ourselves in trouble, haven't we? Because we've done what we've wanted, and then isn't it great that we can blame it on God? Well, I believe God wants me out of this. After all, I'm not happy, and God wants me to be happy. Well, there's two things I know when you say that. Number one, you don't know God very well, because that's not God's primary thing for your life. And secondly, you're a stubborn person who's doing what you want to do, and you'll pay a price for it. Galatians 5:16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your spiritual nature craves. Your sinful nature, excuse me, craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Now notice, these two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law. You see, I don't need to worry about fulfilling the law of Moses or the Ten Commandments, because if I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, I'm going to do much more than what the law says. Correct? Look at verse 24 in that same chapter. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross, crucified him there. And since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. You see, as you get to know God better, when you became a Christian, his Spirit came to live in you and to give you direction, to kind of tell you, here's where I want you to go, here's what I want you to do, here's how I want you to live, here's the way you want to do it. And the more you seek after that and hunger for that and want that to happen in your life, the easier it is for you to make choices in life. The problem gets to be when you call yourself a Christian and you listen to your sinful nature. I'm a Christian, but I'm doing what I want. That's a disconnect, isn't it? And the battle is often not knowing God's will. It's more in choosing to do God's will. Well, I don't want to do that. After all, you know, if I do what God wants me to do, I won't be happy. I won't have any fun. Life will be boring. Well, two problems. Number one, you don't know God very well. God is nothing like boring. Secondly, you're listening to your will. I read this quote a couple weeks ago. All the water in the world, no matter how hard it tries, can never sink a ship unless it gets inside. Okay? All the evil influence of the world, no matter how hard it tries, can never sink a Christian unless it gets inside. Most people walk away from God not because he fails them or because the word of God proves them true, but because of the love of the world and them wanting to do what they want. Jesus said the desires of this world along with the deceitfulness of wealth come in and choke out the word of God. So when we're seeking God, we're able to clarify and know what glorifies Christ and what doesn't, and then we can choose accordingly. See, grace of God doesn't relieve us of responsibility. In fact, we live under a higher standard when we make grace, when grace makes our decisions. It's higher than following the rules. See, if you're only interested in following the rules, that's called the law of Moses. You and I live in a higher standard. And as you seek God, God begins to deal with you. You can't go there. You can't do that. You shouldn't. Well, I want to. I don't see nothing wrong with it. I think it's okay. I don't think the Bible has anything to say against it. Okay. Two problems. You don't know God very well. Secondly, you're doing whatever you want to do. Have you noticed these two problems keep? Good. So, okay. I want to live in obedience. I want to take the time to know that. After I know God and when my heart's that way and when that's my life, then I can make choices according to my free will. God says, look, you follow after me, you'll make good decisions because your heart is longing after me and you'll make the proper decisions when that's your goal in life. Third thing, ask for wisdom. Okay, God gives me the choice. I have a free will. I'm seeking after God. I want to know what God wants. Decisions come along. God says, okay, look, you're seeking after me. You decide. So I need to ask for wisdom. 1 Corinthians 6:12. You say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. I'm allowed, but I can't become a slave. Habits, issues. Now, three steps in asking for wisdom. Number one, where God commands, we have to walk in obedience. Well, I believe that God wants me to get out of this marriage. Two problems. Do you know them by now? You don't know God very well. Secondly, you're just doing whatever you want to do. Where God's word says no, it's no. There are many things in Scripture that are very clear. You don't need to pray about them. You don't need to seek God's will about it. God's will is his word. And where it says no, it's no. Where it says yes, it's yes. God isn't changing his mind because truth doesn't shift. Now, it does in our culture, but it doesn't in Christianity. So where God commands, you walk in obedience. You do what the scriptures tell you to do. You know God. You've studied his word. You long for him. That's why you want to know God's word, that you're doing what he wants you to do. Where his word says it, you do it. Secondly, when I'm asking for wisdom, where there is no command, I get to exercise free will. Okay, the Bible doesn't tell me what color of car to have. The Bible doesn't tell me of which person to marry. But I'm seeking God, and I want God's will, and I want to please God, and will my relationship glorify God? And that's what I want more than I want to be married. Still with me? Okay. Thirdly, where there's freedom, you need to ask God for wisdom. God, help me to do the wise thing. Now, why do you need to ask God for wisdom? Because if you don't, your will is going to take over. God, I don't want to listen to my will. I want to listen to your wisdom. God, I need some counsel to tell me, to help me see. God, I want to have a peace about what's going on. I want to know what you want. Okay, I get it, Pastor. I get to seek God, and then I get to do whatever I please. Remember at the beginning I said, don't misunderstand me today? Some will. Not what I've said. You have a free will, but you need wisdom. And that wisdom is you still, God, help me, guide me. I'm going to use my free will here. I'm going to make a choice, but I'm going to make that choice based upon the principles that you put into my life that I'm going to let direct me in everything that I do. Colossians 1:9. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit, and all the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Now, what has the writer just done there? He has connected God's will with knowing God, hasn't he? The more you do that, I want to live, verse 10, will always honor and please the Lord. James 1:5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, here it goes, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Be sure that your heart is towards God. Do not waver. For a person with a divided loyalty, what's a divided loyalty? Your will versus God's. So what we're talking about, right? That's what he's talking about here. Is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Why shouldn't they expect it? Because they're going to do what they want. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything they do. Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? So God says, look, when it comes to my will and being confident in it, get to know me. Live a life that desires to follow me. You hunger after me. You want to be like me. You do everything you can to grow in me. That's your heart's desire. That's why you live, to bring me glory and honor. And if you'll live like that, you can make your choices in life, because you'll be able to separate my spirit from the world's spirit. You'll be able to separate my will from your will. And as you do that, lean on me and ask me for wisdom, and I will help you. Okay, got it? Okay, go back to the beginning. We're going to start again. No. Last step. Allow God time to work it out. You see, we make decisions sometimes, and what do we want? The moment we make a decision, we want an immediate response, don't we? The moment, here's even worse. The moment we make a decision, we want everything to go well with us, don't we? But have you ever noticed, I have, that a lot of times when I choose to do what God wants me to do, things get a little rocky for a while, right? It doesn't always go smoothly right away, does it? And they'll, it gets rocky, and oh, did I do the right thing? Oh, no, what's going on? Oh, no, oh, I've blown it. Oh, no, I've destroyed God's will. Chill, take a pill, calm down. Give God some time. God, well, Romans 8:28, and we know, maybe you want to underline that little word know, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God, heart for God, and are called according to his purpose for them. God, that's what I want more than anything else. God, I desire you. So I don't need to get upset if I've made a decision and I don't see how everything's going to fall together. God, you're still in control here. What I want more than having the right decisions and getting online is I just want to know you more. God, through this time, I'll lean on you a little harder. God, I'll get to know you a little better. And God, that's what I live for. I live to do, to live a life that honors you and to know you better. That's what my life is all about. I'll make decisions because you're with me. You'll help me. You'll guide me, and you'll take care of things. And here's the deal. Even if I make a choice that maybe is wrong, God's still able to make good out of it. For all of those who are called according to his purpose. God, you know my heart. You know I'm trying to do everything that pleases you. I'm going to make a decision because it's time to, because I need to. And I'm going to try to make the best decision in my life that will honor you all the way through. And so, God, this is what I'm doing. And God, you know that if I blow it because I'm human, I can still know that you know what's best for me and you will still work everything out for my good and for your good. And I believe that you see and experience the hand of God in your life in much more profound ways when you recognize more fully that life is you and God working together. Not simply you wandering through the world with the expectation that God's going to make decisions for you, answer all your questions, show you the next step. Life is you and God together. He authorizes you to make decisions, and you seek him. And then he steps in and weaves those decisions into a glorious tapestry that depict his goodness and his grace. That's the life of God's will. So this morning, here's the question. Maybe you're struggling with walking in obedience to God. Maybe there's some things in your life right now that you're doing that aren't honoring God and pleasing God. And you need to address those before you deal with the other things. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't want to make a decision because, well, you're just afraid. Or in making your decisions, you've developed the attitude, well, I'm just going to do what I want because I know what's best. And this is what I've really wanted in life, and nothing's going to stop me from getting it. And rather than letting you and God walk that way together, you just decided you're going to do things your own way. And you struggle because of it. Maybe you're at the point this morning where you need to ask for wisdom. God, here's my heart, here's my desire, here's what I want to do. Help me. Maybe you're at the point this morning where you just need to wait. Decisions have been made. You need to know God's at work. And he is, isn't he? So wherever you find yourself this morning in those questions, in those issues, would you take a moment right now, just between you and God, and would you ask him to help you? Would you say to him, God, I want... Notice what I'm going to say. I want you more than anything else. Notice I did not say I want your will. God, I want you more than anything else. And here's where I find myself this morning. Would you help me? Would you take a moment and just do that right where you are?
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag. or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.